Thank God. I want to welcome every person to the broadcast today. Great things are happening. Father, I just pray for all that are in authority that the Spirit of the living God would rest upon President Trump, Vice President Vance, the House, the Senate, the Congress, the courts of this land. I pray, Father, that your Spirit rest upon all the leaders throughout the earth. I thank you for subduing iniquity. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, for restoring honest journalism in our land and all over the world, and that the people of America will unite together and vote on policy and not personality, that you would open people's eyes to see the policies that are good for America, that we'd unite and support them. Father, I pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the restoration of Israel. I just give you thanks, Father, that the purposes of God have never stopped. That which you have started, you are continuing to work your purposes in the earth. Thank God. All right, I'm going to be talking about the last Adam. You know, God was talking to me years back, and he said, when I bring you into the land, don't forget who put you there, and don't try to take the glory. Now, I want to show you in the scriptures that God wants to bring his people into the land, just like he brought the children of Israel into the promised land. And a place of where we get all the blessings, a complete and total salvation. But we have to walk through the same thing the children of Israel walked through for us to go into the land. Turn to Hebrews 3:8. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, said they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my way. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Okay, so God was grieved with his people, in the old times, because they hardened their hearts in the day of temptation. Now he's talking to us, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now it's talking about us going through temptations just like the children of Israel did. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10:13. There have no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. See, they walk through it to go into the land. We have to walk through it. But rejoice, inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Did you catch that? Notice, as we get through this, as we walk through this, we're going to have exceeding joy. Now, back to Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another daily, what is called a day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And this is what will happen when you start going through temptations. You will come to a crossroad over and over where your heart could be hardened, or you can humble yourself and believe God. And sometimes you have to just pray, God, grant me grace, because you're irritated in the wilderness. You're irritated when you're going through temptations. And the more sin you got in you, the more chance of your heart hardened. But don't do that. Stick with God. He's for us. Skip down to verse 18. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into rest, but to them that believe not. So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now go to the next chapter 4, verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into the rest. Now he's comparing this with going into the land of Canaan. We which believe, we enter into the rest. As he said, as I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Notice it was done from the foundation of the world, but you've got to walk it out. Skip down to verse 10. For he that is entered into his rest, he also have ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man should fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, laboring is believing. This is, I think it's somewhere in John 6, it says, this is the work of God is to believe. So we labor to get in the rest. We labor by laboring to believe. And we saw that they didn't enter in because they wouldn't believe. So anyway, these scriptures are comparing the children of Israel going through the wilderness entering into the promised land, the land of Canaan, where you get all the blessings. To us, going through the fiery trials also, and it's comparing the children of Israel going into the promised land to modern day Christians entering into the rest where we get all the blessings. Okay, now the reason I said in previous broadcasts, as we walk through these things, we come into the walk of the Spirit. And the reason I say that, that this about entering into the rest, where we come into the walk of Spirit, it says when we enter the rest, we cease from our own works. And I believe that's where we're led by the Spirit in everything we do. We're no longer doing our works. God is leading us by His Spirit. But we have to walk through the wilderness to become to the plate. And I'm going to say a statement that people are not going to believe. But if you'll just consider what I'm saying and the Lord will give you understanding. As we walk through the wilderness, we will become completely born again. Because the work of spiritual regeneration is an ongoing work as you walk through fiery trials. Now, this is so foreign to many people in the body of Christ. I totally understand. It was foreign to me when God began to open this up to me. But I can show you many scriptures of the changing of the heart after you received Jesus, that you didn't get a new heart when you first received Him. And if you're willing to consider these things, if you're willing to look at these things, because you say, well, how could you be right when ministers that have been doing this for many, many years, big ministers, well-known ministers, have said this, that we got a new heart and we received Jesus. How could you be right? Well, it's not me that's right. It's the Word of God. So I'm going to take you scripture after scripture. If you're willing to consider this, God will show you. And you'll come to the place, you'll see, wow, their doctrine isn't in the Bible, but the one you're teaching is. And see, I can prove this through many scriptures that spiritual regeneration is a work of grace that starts when you receive Jesus and continuing on as you walk with Him. Now keep that in mind as we read these next scriptures. John 16:20, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, have sorrow because her hour is come. Soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born in the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I'll see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man take it from you. You'll keep your joy. See that? Now, this scripture is comparing our sorrow to a woman's sorrow in childbearing, and how a woman's sorrow is turned into joy once the child is born, and our sorrow is turned into joy as we're reborn. Now, that's what it's saying here, and this is not real easy to see, but I'm going to prove that with other scriptures, that as you walk through the wilderness, we are spiritually regenerated. And having joy always is after you've been spiritually regenerated, because as you bear the fruit of the Spirit, you are bearing the very characteristic of joy. And once the new birth is complete, we will be joyful always. I'm going to show you another scripture on that. Joyful, all, that's what we're going for. You know, there's a lot of people who got money that aren't joyful. A lot of people who got health, not joyful. A lot of people seemingly have everything, fame, wealth, joy, all this. And, you know, having money is great. I mean, and those of you out there going through financial hard time, you thought, oh, I'd be so relieved to have money. Well, it definitely is a great blessing. But you can have money and have sorrow. You know, it says the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. So that's all I'm saying. Not that riches is wrong. Thank God for riches. Riches is one of the benefits of the gospel. Okay? Health is one of the benefits of the gospel. But thank God we can have divine health, divine prosperity, and joy always. And I'm going to show you that. And I can prove everything I'm saying. And the teaching that you get a whole new heart when you first see, just doesn't hold true when you take the whole counsel of God and put it together. Turn to Titus 3:5, Common English Bible. He saved us because of His mercy, not because of righteous thing we've done. Now look what this salvation does. He did it through the washing of new birth and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Okay? This is an ongoing regeneration. Okay? I went into it a little last week that salvation is an ongoing process. And this is an obstacle for some of you to receive because you've been taught that salvation is a one-time experience. So you got that religious tradition in your heart. And yes, it is a religious tradition. It is not scriptural. Salvation is an ongoing process. Okay, 2 Corinthians 4:16. And if you've got that tradition, religious tradition in your heart, you'll have trouble seeing what the word says. 2 Corinthians 4:16. For which cause we faint not, for though our outward man perish, that's our body, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. That's our heart, is being renewed, rebuilt, renovated day by day. Not with saying one prayer. James 1:18, Christian Standard Bible. By his own choice, he gave us birth by the word of truth so that we would be first kinds of his creatures. Okay? Did we just hear the word and didn't get all born again at once? Well, let's keep reading. Let's see if that pans out. Did you know that the soul and the spirit of man make up his heart? And we just read verse 18. It's talking about being born again. Now skip down three verses to verse 21. Still reading out of the Christian Standard Bible. I switch translations sometimes because I think it says it better in some translations. I think the King James is more accurate, but sometimes looking at it from a different translation, you'll see it. Therefore, ridding yourself of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, humbly receive the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Okay, we know by the parable of the sower, wayside heart, word won't get implanted. It'll get stolen out by the devil. We know the hard heart, it won't get planted in because the heart has to be softened. We know the heart with thorns in it has the word, those cares and deceitfulness choke the word out. So you get your soul saved as the word is implanted in you. So there's some work and there's some preparation of the heart to get that word planted in you. And it says we get birthed by the word of truth. Okay, put all that together, what I just said. I just gave you the mystery of the kingdom of God. 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Okay, the end of your faith. Now, remember, the soul and the spirit make up the heart. So would you say if you got a new heart, you would need your soul saved? Why? It's already saved. See? Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not them who draw back onto perdition, destruction, but to them that believe to the saving of the soul. Saving of the heart. I just showed you he saved us by rebirth. See? Titus 3:5. Here it shows you the saving is a process. Here again. So these scriptures showing an ongoing work of spiritual generation as you receive the word of truth and continue to believe. Okay? And we saw our sorrow will be turned into joy, and no man will be able to take that joy, which means we'll have joy always. Once the new birth is complete. Now, when you get a hold of joy, no man take it from us, that's talking about being born again, and it is. And, well, I'm gonna get into this more. Anyway, God revealed to me the parable of the sower little by little, and I got understanding of these scriptures, and they all fit together like a puzzle. This is how you can tell you get the truth of God. As you read scripture, as they all fit together, you know you got it right. You can't fit together a one-time experience with an ongoing work. They're contrary to one another. And when you're talking about the heart of man, you'll see it's an ongoing work. And I gave you some scriptures right there. The saving of the soul, ongoing work. See? So it doesn't, that's why you know when they said you got all a new heart, it's wrong. See, if you study the new birth, the change in a man's heart, you will come to the conclusion it's an ongoing work of grace as you believe and obey the faith. Okay, Isaiah 35:10, common English Bible. The Lord's ransomed ones will return and enter Zion with singing. Zion is the church. With everlasting joy upon their heads. Everlasting joy. They don't get joyful a little here and there. Everlasting joy. Happiness and joy will overwhelm them. Grief and groaning will flee away. Let's read that same scripture in the Amplified. And the ransom of the Lord will return and come to Zion with shouts of jubilation, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall find joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Do you believe that? We read where our sorrow will be turned into joy, and it's a parable about being born again. We had sorrow, and the world was rejoicing. They were doing what they wanted. We had sorrow because we were going through fiery trials, humbling ourselves, being corrected. walking through the wilderness. Well, you have to put a lot of scriptures together, but that's what that's talking about. But our sorrows turn into joy, and no man will be able to take away that joy. And here, what I just read in Isaiah 35 talks about that the ransomed of the Lord have everlasting joy. We will be joyful the rest of our life. Once the born again is totally complete, we're ransomed in this life. So we can reach the place spiritually where we have joy all the time. Now, do you believe that? Do you believe that's what that's saying? It is absolutely saying that. This is what the Word of God teaches. Okay, so yeah, the Word of God talks about sufferings we go through. It talks about the being partakers of the sufferings of Christ, but it talks about overcoming and brought to the place where we have joy all the time. Now, let's get into how the last Adam restored everything that the first Adam lost. Psalm 69:4. They that hate me without a cause are more than hairs of my head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restore that which I took not away. Now, this is talking about Jesus in Psalm 69:4. He restored that which he took not away. And he said his enemies were more than the hairs of his head. He had opposition on every side. Okay, now, let me say this. God is in the process of bringing to pass 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let me read that. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, this is one of the scriptures people use to say we got a whole new heart when we receive Jesus. Okay, but this was accomplished on the cross. And as you study scripture, you will see an ongoing work of having a heart changed. I've already given you some scripture. As you study, you'll get your eyes open. It's everywhere. All right? And that does not contradict that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That's just telling you that was done on the cross. Now we got to walk it out. Okay? When all the old things or all the bad things about you passed away and everything about you has become new, everything about you has become righteous, then you've reached perfection. That is restoring us back to what we were like before the fall of man. Okay? We didn't get there with one prayer. Otherwise, we wouldn't need to be corrected. We wouldn't need to abide in Christ so we could bear the fruit of the Spirit. We wouldn't need to be loosed away from sin. We wouldn't have to be baptized. Why would you get baptized in water to get rid of the old man if you received Jesus? The old things passed away. See, I'm telling you, the more you put this together, the more you will see that happened on the cross, but we have to get baptized in water, believe the old man was crucified with Christ, reckon him dead, put him off, abide in Christ, bear the fruit of the Spirit, which is the characteristics and traits of the new man. Walk all this out. See, this restoring is not, and this restoring is not just a restoring of the spirit, soul, and body of man, but it's also to get back what Adam lost when he had dominion over all the earth, and bring us to the place where the body of Christ will have authority over all the earth. See, I'm kind of switching from what God did in us because I want you to see about the second Adam and what he accomplished. He restored everything. See, when Adam and Eve sinned, and the last Adam who restored everything was Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And, you know, when Adam and Eve sinned, the devil became the God of this world. Now, let's go back to Genesis 1:28. God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that move upon the earth. Let's go ahead and take a break here. We'll put in a song. Let's do Via Della Rosa by Pamela Pontia.
Down the Via Dolorosa in Jerusalem that day, the soldiers tried to clear the narrow street, but the crowd pressed in to see a man condemned to die on Calvary. He was bleeding from a beating. There were stripes upon his back, and he wore a crown of thorns upon his head. And he bore with every step the scorn of those who cried out for his death. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the way of suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary. Por la Via Dolorosa, tres días en Jerusalén, los soldados le aprean paso a Jesús. Mas la gente se acercaba para ver a que llevaba aquella cruz. Por la Via Dolorosa, que es la Via del dolor, como vea, vino Cristo, Rey Señor. Y fue Él quien quiso ir por su amor, por ti, por mí. Por la Via Dolorosa, al Calvario ya morí. The blood that would cleanse the souls of all men made its way through the heart of Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary.
Now turn to Luke 4, verse 5, International Standard Version. The devil, this is Jesus in the wilderness, and he's being tempted by the devil. The devil also took him to a high place, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. In an instant, he told Jesus, I will give you all this authority, along with this glory, because it's been given to me. See, Adam gave it to Satan when he sinned. And I give it to anyone I please. Now, he was telling the truth here. He is the God of this world. He was the God of this world. And he could give it to Jesus. And he told Jesus, verse 7, if you worship me, all this shall be yours. Now, Adam and Eve had dominion over the earth. And when they sinned, they gave the authority over the earth to the devil. And he became the god of this world. Now, the devil tried to deceive Jesus that he could get all the authority back if he yielded to the devil. But Jesus knew better. Jesus knew by dying for man's sins, he knew the plan of the Father, that he was going to die for man's sin. Jesus knew he was the last Adam that could take back the authority over the earth. But man, and he knew he was going to do it through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. But he's, of course, we know Jesus already accomplished that. He was obedient on the death, even the death of the cross. He was raised from the dead. But man has to receive that salvation to be raised up with Christ to rule the earth. Okay? there's a big difference between what Jesus did and we walking it out. Matthew 28, 18, International Standard Version. Then Jesus approached them and told them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. See, he didn't yield to the temptation of the devil. He obeyed the Father. He was obedient unto the death of the cross. He judged the devil and cast him out through his death, burial, and resurrection. You know, he said, now is the prince of this world judged. I forgot where that at. And now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And then he told us how he did it. And if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto me. He was talking about his resurrection. Through the resurrection of Christ, every spirit has been judged, cast out. But you've got to stand fast in that and believe it. You've got to stand fast in the gospel and get your iniquity purged. And drive the devil away from you. Be raised up with Christ. Then you can rule in the earth. Okay, then this restoration is going forward. Okay, turn to Psalm 110, verse 1, contemporary English version. The Lord said unto my Lord, that's the Father to the Son, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies into a footstool for you. The Lord will let your power reach out from Zion. The Father will let Christ's power reach out from Zion, and you will rule over your enemies. Now, Zion is the New Testament church, the body of Christ. Let's read that in the Amplified Bible. The Lord, Father, says to the Lord, the Messiah, the Son, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet, subjugating into them into complete submission, bringing them into submission. Verse 2, the Lord will send the scepter of your strength from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. Now, Christ the Lord is going to rule the earth through his body. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, by one man sin into the world, death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Okay. Everything Jesus did on the cross was to reverse. He, as the second Adam, he reversed what the first Adam did. Not the second Adam. But Jesus was the last Adam. Okay. 1 Corinthians. You know, I said that one time in this ministry as a church. I was at, got all mad at me because I made a mistake. And I thought, I've looked back on that and I said, God wasn't mad at me. Nah, you're supposed to represent Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man his own order, Christ the first fruits, after they that are Christ at his coming. Okay, now it's talking about the coming of the Lord. Verse 24, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule, all authority, power. So the Lord is coming back to his people after he's put down all rule, all authority, power. Verse 25, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. Now see, he's restoring what Adam lost. The last Adam is restoring that. Let's read Psalm 110 again, contemporary English version. The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, till I make thine enemies into thy footstool for you. So, through Adam, all died spiritually, and we were separated from God. Through Christ, we're all made alive spiritually, where we're no longer separated from God, and we're restored and reconciled back to God. Now, people think, well, Jesus could come anytime. And I certainly don't know the day or the hour, and many are watching the signs of the end times, like the building of the temple and other prophecies being fulfilled. And I watched them too, but I watched this, and I don't think anybody's paying attention to this. I watch those signs as well, but the Lord's coming back after a church without spot and wrinkle. Did you ever consider that's got to be fulfilled? Did you ever consider that people being restored has to be fulfilled? Everybody has to be without spot and wrinkle before the Lord comes back? Well, let's look at that. See, and let me tell you this. It's important to know the difference between what Jesus accomplished on the cross and what we have received and have got worked out in our lives. And that's where a lot of mistakes are made in teachings. Like quoting, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Well, let me ask you this. Has every bad thing about you passed away after you received Jesus? And everything about you become new? Of course not. So it has to be worked out. Okay, now let's look at this. And I want you to consider as I read Ephesians 5:25, that this has to be done before the Lord comes back. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Now, we can see here in other places, this is an ongoing cleansing of us from sin. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy without blemish. So the Lord is going to present to himself at his coming a church without spot or wrinkle. It's the Lord setting us free and cleansing us. Our job is to believe and walk in the faith or walk in the word of God. Okay? Now, so that's got to be done before he comes back, because he's going to present to himself when he comes back a glorious church. So that's one of the things you need to be paying attention to for thinking when the Lord's going to come. And we know that he's got to put down all rule, all authority before he comes back. That's when the end's going to come. Okay, Acts 3:18. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preaching. Now we see here the sins of the body of Christ must be blotted out. Then God the Father will send Jesus to come get us. Let's read on. Verse 20 again. He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preaching, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now, if you didn't read another translation, you might skip over that and not really see what that's saying. Let's read that in the International Version. He must remain in heaven until the time of universal restitution, which God announced long ago through the voice of his holy prophets. So the Lord will remain in heaven until he restores man back to what he was before the fall, and man takes back dominion over the earth, and the man that is taking back dominion over the earth is the last Adam, Jesus, and his body is the body of Christ. That's the last man, Jesus Christ and the body of Christ. He must remain in heaven until this is done, okay? Until it's done. So that's what I'm watching for. Let's read that Acts 3:21 in the Easy English Bible. Jesus must stay in heaven until the day that God will cause everything to become new again. Long ago, God gave his prophets a message about this, and they told that message to people. Okay, let's read about the coming of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud. To meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, I have some loved ones that died, and I know they're going to be in that resurrection, and they're going to go up before me. Then we're all going to meet the Lord in the air. So the Lord's coming to get us, and it says, with the trump of God, when the trumpet sounds. But which trumpet? Because there's seven trumpets in the book of Revelation. See, this is so simple to figure out when the Lord's coming, because the trumpet's going to sound, and there's seven trumpets, so you go find out. So we need to find out which trumpet. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, this changed is going, and you can read that. This is not my opinion. You can read it. I didn't write this one down, but I think it's in 53. This change is going from a mortal body that can die to a mortal body that will never die. Okay. It's not we're still being changed in the image of Jesus. This is already complete. We're already restored. We're already new creatures in Christ. We are already restored back to what we were like. Then the Lord comes. Okay. So behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed, becoming taken on immortal bodies. Oh, will this be glorious? You can never die. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. So we know he's coming at the trump of God. Now it says, which one? At the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorrupt, we shall be changed. So why they've been having this debate for years about when the Lord's coming, they say, oh, he's coming pre-trib. No, he's coming mid-trib. No, we're going through the tribulation. Well, we're going to read when the last trumpet goes off, and then that settles it. I mean, this is not hard, but people don't want to believe the truth. They want to believe what they want to believe, so they don't follow the scripture. Okay, so the Lord's coming to get us at the last trumpet, and there's seven angels blowing the trumpets in the book of Revelation. So when the seventh trumpet is blown, the Lord will descend from heaven and come and get us. And that is after all rule and authority and power has been put down, and Christ rules in the earth through his body. Here we go, Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and we shall reign forever and ever." Now, if you start at the first of the 11th chapter, it talks about the two witnesses, and they'll be prophesying the whole time of the tribulation. And then after it's over, after the tribulation ends, then by that time, now see, the Lord's working to take over these kingdoms somewhere between now and the end of the tribulation. I don't know when it'll start. It may be already started. But by the time the tribulation is over, so we are going through the tribulation. This is when the seventh trumpet is going to sound. But during this time, everybody that walks in Christ and believes and walks with the apostles and the prophets, because I didn't get into this one, but the apostles and the prophets, they are the wise master builder, and you are the building. You can read that in 1 Corinthians 3, 9, and 10. And we rebuild the hearts of people. And that's my ministry, apostle and prophet. And you know, God revealed to me I was a prophet. And then, you know, anybody can have any kind of spiritual revelation. I don't believe every spiritual revelation. But when God began to reveal to me the mysteries of the kingdom of God and reveal to me only things that he reveals to apostles and prophets, and I didn't write that scripture down, then I said, I am an apostle. I am a prophet. I am an apostle. Because he began to reveal to me what he only reveals to apostles and prophets. I should have put that in there, but I didn't. But anyway, it doesn't matter. You either believe me or you don't, and that's fine. I don't need anyone to say amen. I don't need anybody to confirm my ministry. I know who it is, and God will confirm it. So anyway, at the seventh angel sounds, and the kingdoms of the world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and we shall reign forever and ever. And that's at the end of the tribulation. Okay, Joel 2:28. But now don't be afraid, because look what's going to be happening to us. We're going to be getting restored. We're going to be, I'm going to show you here, we're going to be the strongest people to ever walk the face. Those of you that walk in the gospel, you walk with the apostles and the prophets. Look what's going to happen to you. Joel 2:28. It shall come to pass afterwards, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, young men shall see visions. Now, God is going to pour out his spirit afterwards. See, we just read that. Afterwards. After what? We'll go back to verse 25. And I'll restore to you the years the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm, caterpillar, and pommel worm, a great army which is in among you. Now, these cankerworm, caterpillar, and pommel worm are representations of the powers of darkness that God sent among the human race because of their sins and opened the door. And they ate away at our souls. And God's going to restore our souls. And then he's going to pour out his spirit. Okay. Now, look at how strong the body of Christ will be. Go back to the first verse of Joel 2. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on the holy mountain. Let the inhabitants of the earth tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. And he is not him. Okay. The Lord's about to come. Now, we're going to look at these people that have been restored, that have been restored to what they were like before the fall. Except for more so now, because now this creation of people has the Spirit of Christ in them, and Christ living through them, and Christ is the head, and they are the body. Okay? It's different. It's not just restored where they never sin anymore. They are even better than Adam and Eve. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, and as the morning spread upon the mountain. Now look at this. A great people and strong, there have not been ever the like. Never been a people like this. Neither shall be any more, even to the years of many generations. It's never been a people like this in the earth. Never have been ever the like. A strongest people ever walked the earth. For their hearts are restored and the Spirit of God is poured out of them. Now go to verse 30. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillar of smoke. This is a description of right before the Lord comes. So it says that at the first of the chapter, and then it says it at the end of the chapter. It's telling you about the coming of the Lord. So after God, Jesus must remain in heaven until the restoration of all things, until man is restored, until we're totally made new creatures in Christ, we're going to be walking in the Spirit, and in the power of God. See, once you get cleansed from all this, all your sin, you'll inherit the kingdom of God. And Paul said, I will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not word, but power. Okay, so inheriting the kingdom is not just going to heaven. The kingdom of heaven is a place, but it's also the power of God. We're going to inherit the power of God. We're going to walk in the Spirit, and we're going to be the strongest people that ever walked the earth. These are the people of God right before the coming of the Lord. So yes, the Antichrist is going to be raised up during this time, and he's going to try to enforce the mark of the beast. But I didn't go into it, but I think it's in the 11th chapter. No, it's not 11. I think maybe 12 or 13. It talks about God taking care of his people during the Great Tribulation. But we're going to be strong. And then it says Christ is going to be coming forth, and it's through his body, the body of Christ. We are going to take over all the nations of the world. See, the Antichrist is trying to bring in, he is going to be bringing in the new world order. But we're going to end up taking them all over, and he's going to lose one area of ground after another. One nation after another is going to become the kingdom of God and of Christ. See, we read that. After they all become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, we take over everything, then the Lord will come. All right? So there's going to be a strong people, a triumphant people. This is not my opinion. Every bit of this is scripturally sound. The Lord has spoken it, and it'll come to pass. All right? So that's all I've got for today. If there's anybody that you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ, you've never been born again, that's the start of spiritual regeneration. When you've received Jesus, the Spirit of Christ enters into you, and then God starts changing you. And as you read the Word and abide in Christ, you'll start seeing more and more changes in your life. So say this prayer. And let me first say this. There's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, shall be saved. So say this prayer. Lord Jesus, repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I just receive you. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior right now. I thank you that you died for me. You were buried. You were raised from the dead to justify. Whosoever receive of Jesus, to them gave he the authority to become the sons of God. Now, you weren't immediately a son of God, but you are given the authority to become the sons of God. And so if you said that prayer, the Spirit of Christ entered in you, you're ready to get walking with the Lord. So I encourage you to tune in next week. I put out a broadcast every week, and I'll feed you the Word of God so you can grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody have a great day. God bless.